everyone. I'm Oki.
And I'm Catty. And this is Books, Cats, and Snacks. Shout out edition.
Featuring Oreo.
Oreo isn't even here to record with us. She keeps going in and out, so I'm not sure what's happening.
She's here. She's here in spirit. If you guys hear the random bell, you know it's Oreo, like, giving us the okay on what's going on. Okay?
Okay.
It's what she does.
Well, welcome to our shout out, you guys, where Catty and I each pick two books that we want to highlight, that we want to talk about a little bit. We haven't necessarily read it, but we definitely want to eventually, I guess. It's something that came on our radar and we want to talk about it. So, And Catty always starts the first one. So go ahead.
All right. Let's see what we have here. Okay. My first pick is called Late Bloomers by Deepa Bharadarajan. I love the cover also on this book. It's so cute. Like the bright colors and just a little lettering on it. It's really super cute. So yes, here you go. Judging a book by its cover. Okay. All right. Okay. So this book was published. It's going to be published actually on May 2nd of 2023. So it's actually coming up. Yeah. 368 pages. And this is a family oriented novel.
Okay.
It's an Indian American family whose life is turned upside down because of their parents' divorce 36 years after their arranged marriage.
Oh, wow. That's different.
So I know arranged marriages are, I'm not sure if they still are, but I know maybe back in the day it was a big deal. But the fact that they broke up 36 years later is a big deal no matter what, even if you were arranged or you weren't. Especially if you grew up in a house where your parents never were fought or never really had any discord. And the fact that they're just like, all right, we're going to divorce. We're like, say what now? You know, you could be 50 and all of a sudden you're brought back down to being 5 years old and you don't know what's going on. Right. You know what I mean? So that trauma is still there no matter what happens, what age group, years, it's still the same. After 36 years of dutiful but unhappy arranged marriage, recently divorced Suresh and Lata Raman find themselves starting new paths in life. Suresh is trying to navigate the world of online dating on a website that caters to Indians and is striking out every turn. Until he meets a mysterious, devastatingly attractive younger woman who seems to be smitten with him. Lata is enjoying her newfound independence, but she is caught off guard when a professor in his early 60s starts to flirt with her. Meanwhile, Suresh and Lata's daughters, Priya, thinks her father's online pursuit are distasteful as she embarks upon a clandestine affair of her own. And their son, Nikesh, pretends a seemingly perfect marriage with his law firm colleague and their young son, but hides the truth of what his relationship really entails. So I'm just thinking this book is going to be much like the dual POV of like everyone's own way of going through the romances of life, which sounds pretty interesting. And I'm guessing since coming from a different culture that I'm not really too familiar of, and just the way that their norms are should be pretty interesting for the most part. I just think it's really cute. And the fact it's called Late Bloomers, and I think of myself as a late bloomer in a lot of different ways, it kind of sung out to me because I could easily see this as a little quirky rom-com.
Yeah.
You know, that comes out. So I'm really anxious. I really want to read this. This is really cute. I feel like it's going to make me cry, make me laugh, and make me feel all at the same time. So
I like that you get to read about the mom and the dad and the two kids.
And the daughter and her deals, the son. And I like how he's like striking out at every turn on the web online dating.
It's like, you know, one big event happened in your family and how does it affect every single person? And then they're having to navigate now what in their, you know, love life, or it's now the new normal for them. So pretty interesting book.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Yeah, I like it too. So one more time, that was Late Bloomers by Deepa Bharadarajan. Back to you, woman.
Okay, so my first pick for this shout out, Catty's definitely going to roll her eyes a little bit. Before I say the book, I want to tell you guys about the most popular, famous cartoon character in Japan. His name is Doraemon. See, she's rolling her eyes already, you guys. I love Doraemon. You guys might recognize him. He's a blue, fat kitty. He's a robotic kitty. Well, a robot that's shaped like a cat, kind of. Anyway.
Cat-like robot. Okay, cat-like I just want to tell you guys that she likes to make fun of me all the time about my cats, but then her greatest childhood hero and love is a cat-like robot. I'm just saying. I love
Doraemon.
You just showed a lot of cat hate, even though.
Mm-hmm. I don't hate cats. But, okay, so one of the main things about Doraemon, besides his cool, like, pocket, he has all these cool gadgets, he loves to eat, right? So he loves to eat this pancake, like, filled pancake called a dorayaki. And if you guys ever go to like an Asian supermarket, you'll see it everywhere, actually, a dorayaki, usually in the freezer section. And a lot of times it has a picture of Doraemon on there too, the blue kitty. So that's his favorite food in the world. And the filling is usually this red bean paste. And it's really delicious. Okay, so with that, the book that I chose this week is called Sweet Bean Paste by Dorian Sukegawa. And the book, it was translated by Allison Watts.
Okay.
The book is really short. You know, it's one of those really quirky yet meaningful, transformative books in Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like before if coffee gets cold or if cats disappear from the world. Yeah, books like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, like I said, it's really short. It's 213 pages. It was published October 5th, 2017. And this book is the debut novel of this author. So the book is about this guy named Sentaro. And he just feels like a failure. He has a criminal record. He drinks too much. He's that unassuming character, main character. And he has this dream of being a writer. And he's not successful in it. Mm-hmm. So he kind of spends his day just kind of working, kind of going through his emotions. But he works at this shop selling dorayaki, the pancake with the sweet bean paste. So then here comes this elderly woman named Taku. She has these disfigured hands. She has this like troubled past. She also makes the best sweet bean paste he's ever had. Like, I don't know if she goes and works in a shop with him or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But she teaches him the craft of making the dorayaki. And so you can kind of imagine they become friends. And it's almost kind of like Remarkably Bright Creatures.
Yeah, like I was just thinking that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a relationship between like an older woman and like this guy who doesn't really have any direction. And he's trying to figure out where his life goes. So maybe this is a Japanese version. So instead of like an octopus, it's the pancake. It's the dorayaki. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe. So the book says, Sweet Bean Paste is a moving novel about the burden of the past and the redemptive power of friendship. Translated into English for the first time, Dorian Sukegawa's beautiful prose is capturing hearts all over the world. So I'm really excited to read.
It's really sweet, yeah.
These types of books. Yeah, they're so, they're so clever and just so quirky, but yet there's a lot of heart.
Any Japanese book that I've had, I guess, it has a lot of heart and they say a lot without being so long-winded. They get to the point and they know how to like get you like in your heart, you know, they just the way that they write, man. You're just like, wow. They're not talking about wisterias and the trees and the temperature. No. It's like, you know, human emotion.
It's pretty direct. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Like much, you know, I feel like that's much like anything. The Japanese culture is very direct.
Right.
You know, uniform in a way,
right?
Much like the writing. And I like it. I appreciate it.
So the book, one more time, is called Sweet Bean Paste by Dorian Sukegawa and translated by Allison Watts. Back to you, Katty, your second book shout out for this week.
All right. Well, the weather over here is wonderful. That's my newscaster voice, y'all. Okay. All right. My second book. Actually, I read it because I just read the synopsis of it and it sounded really cute and reminded me of Oki, and she's going to figure out why in just a second.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Okay, so it's called The Most Likely Club by Elisa Friedland. All right, it was published September 6th of 2022, 368 pages, much like my other one, which is weird. I found two books that happen to have the same amount. Okay.
Yeah, that's weird.
So it's at a milestone high school reunion. A group of friends make a pact to finally achieve their high school superlatives one way or another. Let's see. So they went in high school in 1997, where Grunge is King and Titanic is a blockbuster.
Oh gosh, grunge yes. was definitely king back then. I mean, we had the best grunge era, like music. Mm. You have your
the '90s,
Nirvana. Just... You have your Pearl Jam. You have your Soundgarden. Anyway, mm-hmm. I can keep going with
the '90s in general. Is just probably the greatest decade. Like of music
and
ever.
Music, you and I've always said that.
Beautiful,
absolutely.
It's absolutely wonderful. '90s music. I'm not just saying that because I'm a '90s child, of course, you know. But right. definitely, you could. I mean, like I said, you could listen to N.W.A. to Garth Brooks to NSYNC to Ricky Martin. I mean, like you just got it all. Right. Like
right.
you know, like
all it the R&B artists,
all
oh,
the
so good.
Beautiful R&B. Yeah, like it was just it was a beautiful, beautiful time. To be like, there was no like.
Even country was really good.
Yeah,
I remember
country was really
Colin Ray or something. Oh, Shania Twain.
Shania Twain, George Strait, right. even. Yeah, all of them.
Brooks and Dunn. But anyway.
Brooks and Dunn. Mm-hmm. And now I can't list like maybe two other country people. Like I can't.
Yeah.
I cannot recognize any of them. You take me back and I recognize pretty much anybody that you throw at me from that period of music.
Yeah.
You know, but now I'm just like,
I think the only exposure I would have. If I were to get to want to know any country artists is looking at our Houston rodeo lineup.
Yeah, our rodeo
like,
lineup.
Who are these people? Ooh, let me get to know their music.
A couple of them I was like, yeah. All right, okay, you get it. You get it. You get it, son. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, so in Bellport, Connecticut, four friends and high school seniors are ready to light the world on fire. Melissa Levin, Priya Chowdhury, Tara Taylor, and Suki Hammer are going places. They're most likely to win the White House, cure cancer, open a Michelin-starred restaurant, and join the Forbes 400. Fast forward 25 years later, and nothing has gone according to plan as the women regroup at their dreaded high school reunion with the surprising announcements. With the surprising announcement. The friends dig out the yearbook and rethink their younger selves. Is it too late to make dreams come true? Fueled by nostalgia and too many drinks, they form a pact to push through their middle-aged angst to bring their teenage aspiration to fruition. So I just thought it was so cute. Like, I think of Bridesmaids Meets freaking Babysitter's Club. That's what I think of when I'm listening. I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. 1997, four friends. I'm just saying. It reminds me of a certain somebody. Oki has a pack of friends that she's been friends with since she was like, since the beginning of time.
And since they all were in sixth grade,
all these girls, beginning of time, essentially. And they all graduated together. And I want to say it was 1997. So this is Oki's.
Yeah.
So I'm just reading this. I'm like, this is Oki. This is all Oki. Her and her friends. And the fact that she has four friends, I'm like, oh my goodness. This is you fools right here. One more time. It's The Most Likely Club by Lisa Friedland. I thought of you and I was like, oh my gosh,
thank you.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
It's so cute. I just love the fact. I can imagine them being like wine drunk, thinking about like the best years of their life. Wine wasted. These ladies.
The Most Likely Club. I actually have been seeing a lot of that book on Bookstagram, on Instagram and stuff.
Oh, really?
So, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I mean, it's from last year, but people are still talking about it.
So
it
fits so many book clubs. Like, I can imagine so many of that age group are the women that are reading these books. Like, this is going to tug at their hearts. I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a movie, Amazon special, something. I would not be surprised. I haven't heard any bad things about the writing of the book, so... Like, it's all been good. It's all been, like, good publicity for it, so I'm pretty sure, like, this would be something... People are going to want to see.
All right. So back to me and my second pick for the shout out. So I like that you picked a book that kind of reminded you of me.
Yeah.
I do that a few times, right? Throughout the shout out. This book I picked has nothing to do with that. Just laying it out there. Because I picked a horror book. Well, it's not a thriller. It's not a mystery thriller. It's a horror book. So,
let me guess. Does it have multiple POVs?
No, I'm not sure, but I don't think so.
I'm just teasing.
Okay, so the book I picked is called Demons in Cotton by Ben Meyer.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, okay.
And when you think Demons in Cotton, it's pretty much a little girl's teddy bear. A little girl's plush animal. And this is channeling to me kind of like Child's Play with
like
Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
But Ben Meyer, he's a Swedish author. And I actually had an interview with him, like an author interview with him on the other podcast. And I was really fascinated by his story. So I definitely wanted to do a shout out on it. But the book is 292 pages.
Okay.
It was published a few years ago. It was published September 21st, 2021.
Okay.
The book is about a little girl. Her name is Kelly. And she has a teddy bear, which she names the bear Chester. But inside Chester is Gabriel. It says here, Gabriel is the warrior hiding under Chester's skin. But Gabriel, which is pretty much the demon.
Yeah.
He's so protective of Kelly. So it says here, for fans of mysterious grim worlds and heart-wrenching horror comes Ben Myers' debut Demons in Cotton. Mm-hmm. Read about the lost warrior Gabriel as he follows Kelly into a world filled with childish wonder and all the spiraling darkness hiding under the surface. So like I said, this is supposed to be a horror novel, and I'm in for it. Trying to read something kind of demonic with like a child's toy.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally like up my alley.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like Chucky, it's like all the way for me.
It's like a demonic Teddy Ruxpin.
Right. You know, but after... No, don't mess that's up my Teddy Ruxpin for me.
That's what I imagine.
But after talking to the author, though, I do feel like this gets pretty dark. He said that a lot of people said, man, this is definitely not for everyone, but it's wildly entertaining. And it was really well. So I'm really excited to introduce people to this indie author. So he's pretty cool. So that was Demons in Cotton by Ben Meyer. Nice. And that concludes our shout out for this week, everybody. We're currently reading my pick, you guys. It's a memoir that is so fascinating. It's called When Breath Becomes Air by Paul Kalanithi. And that's our discussion for next week. So we will talk to you then. And bye.
Bye.